He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
This is what, SNU number?
107.
And that's 107 months.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, how many years is that then?
Well, do 12 into 107.
Yes,
and
I know.
And that tells us how long we've been doing this
Ooh,
thing.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
And, you know, that brings up the whole element of consistency.
Oh.
How consistent are people today? And we've talked about this, right?
Right.
Well, they're consistent in their inconsistency.
That's right.
You know, people that are not reliable are reliably not reliable.
Yeah, and we know a few of those people.
No doubt. So when you know that someone's not reliable, they are reliable because their lack of reliability is reliable.
Okay.
So they're reliable.
I think I got that.
But
do you understand that?
But if you expect them to be reliable in the typical sense, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah, you know what? You're really getting on my nerves right now.
Good, because that's exactly what I want
so
to do.
So where's my B12 shot? Where's my B12 shot?
No, but I mean, yeah. Being consistent, is that an important thing?
Absolutely.
When it comes to nutrition,
yes.
And health and fitness?
Mm-hmm.
And
even
that...
in child rearing, to be consistent.
That's right.
Many aspects. Consistent in eating, consistent in going to the bathroom, consistent in drinking water, consistency in everything.
Yes, but there's the action and the inaction.
The good consistency.
Well, we call it the good consistency. So
He's
when you're not doing that, mm-hmm. you are still being consistent.
Right.
You're consistently not doing what needs to be done to be well.
I understand
right?
what you're saying.
So
yes.
do I. But anyway, we have to focus on what it is that needs to be done rationally and then do that. And that's what makes us well.
And there you have it.
Okay. So what's cooking?
What's cooking? Well, you know, I'm into this new wave of gluten-free. And
that's not new to you.
I know that. It's not new. And I know about celiac disease and I know about gluten-free food and gluten-free diets.
No, you don't.
But I've never really gotten into it as passionately as
you
I want
You are the
to
gluten
get.
In my life.
Oh, really? Okay. So this little episode that I'm going to do right now is just about gluten-free baking and cooking and food. And in Latin, gluten means glue. So thank you very much for that, dear. If you're,
it was a compliment.
Yes, I know.
But you're the part of me that I can't digest.
No, so you have, yeah.
You're the part of me that I'm sensitive to, and that I have all these digestive problems.
Okay, in Latin, gluten means glue, and that's exactly what it is: two proteins, gliadin and glutenin.
Very nice.
Stuck together. Gluten is found in wheat, barley, and rye, and sometimes oats, depending on if the oats are contaminated and how they're...
Hold it now. This is... You're taking over my technically speaking. That's my stuff. You're supposed
no.
to be simply put.
Well, okay. Okay, I won't get into that. I'm going to get into that later. But so there's a myriad of products that have gluten in them and the usual suspects such as bread and bagels. But there are some that aren't so obvious, such as meat substitutes, bouillon cubes, licorice, medicines, vitamins, and even lip balms have gluten in them. Gluten helps hold in the gas bubbles produced by leveling agents.
Maybe I should be taking some of that gluten.
And as I said, it's the sticky stuff that helps prevent your baked goodies from crumbling. It also traps pockets of air, improving the texture of our baked goods. So,
but at what expense, right?
Right. So those who cannot tolerate gluten have what's called celiac disease. And this is a digestive disease that damages the small intestine and interferes with the absorption of nutrients from food. And when people have celiac disease and they eat foods or use products containing gluten, their immune systems responds by damaging or destroying the villi. Those are the little, tiny, finger-like protrusions lining the small intestine. And villi normally allow the nutrients from the food to be absorbed through the walls of the small intestine into the bloodstream. And without healthy villi, the person becomes malnourished. And no matter how much food they eat, they're not getting the nutrition.
That's right. And very good, dear. And
Thank
what
you.
Is now known is that outside of being an outright celiac,
yeah.
because we know that that is the black or the white, depending upon which side of the spectrum you're on. We're talking about the gray area, and it's my belief, and there's a lot of science to back this up. This is a scientific opinion where the villi and the enterocytes of the small intestinal wall are inflamed through the chronic ingestion of gluten and products that contain it. So although you're not a celiac or you don't have something called SPRU, you actually have a mild form of silent inflammation going on inside your gut.
Right.
And this starts when you're young.
Yes.
Because this stuff is hidden in baby
right.
food.
Oh, yeah.
It's in everything,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
So, but the symptoms of celiac vary from person to person, as you mentioned. Symptoms may occur in the digestive system or other parts of the body. Digestive symptoms are more common in infants and young children. Right, just what you said about kids and their food, and may include abdominal bloating and pain, chronic diarrhea, vomiting, constipation, pale complexion, foul smelling or fatty stools, and weight loss. And irritability is another common symptom in children, so really be careful about everything you feed your kids. Malabsorption of nutrients during the years when nutrition is critical to the child's normal growth and development can result in other problems such as failure to thrive in infants, delayed growth, short stature, delayed puberty, and dental decay.
Well, we were just having a talk with a fine young gentleman yesterday.
Yes.
He said, is there anything I can take or do to increase my height?
Yeah.
And we talked about genetics and hormones and growth patterns and growth hormones.
And what was my answer? I said, wear cowboy boots with high heels. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And then there's actually people who go through massive pain and suffering and surgery to actually add on a couple inches to their height.
Yeah.
And I said, look, you got to accept your height. This is like accepting the reality of life.
And if you had a
Come to terms with it.
You had a posture analyst, I bet you they could put on another inch.
Absolutely.
Or two, just by the way you're standing and having proper posture.
Yeah, but even we know parents who have children that are obviously underdeveloped and very tiny and petite. They have no appetite.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't eat food, you're not going to grow.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't eat well or whole food, obviously it's going to impact how the genes are being expressed.
But going back to the gluten, this is what I find so fascinating, and this is why I'm really kind of into this now, and I want to get into baking and the foods, you know, that I serve, getting into gluten-free food, because, you know, really, it's bloody everywhere. It really is. And in adults are like Leslie to have the digestive symptoms and may instead have one or the more of the following: unexplained iron deficiency anemia, fatigue, bone or joint pain, arthritis, bone loss or osteoporosis, depression, anxiety, tingling, numbness in the hands or feet. Like, hello, missed menstrual periods, infertility, recurrent miscarriage, canker sores inside the mouth, itchy skin rashes. So the people with celiac disease may have no symptoms, but can still develop complications of disease over time.
Yeah, well, that's like most people who don't live and eat right.
Exactly. So these
and then they get whacked down out of nowhere and think, oh my goodness, what's going on? And they don't see the accumulative effect of their life.
Yes, so that's really brought it home to me. And the reason I kind of got into this was because one of our best friends, her mother's celiac, and she had her thyroid taken out, and doctors still couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. I mean, they'll cut and burn and, you know, damage.
Well, humans are intolerant to gluten. We shouldn't be eating wheat anyway, or grasses or grains.
So what this woman did is, I don't know, she heard somebody about celiac disease and gluten, and she Googled it, and now she's free of pain. She's thriving. Mind you, she has to take thyroid medication because she has no thyroid, because they took it out. You know, her whole life has changed. And I tasted some of her baking, and it was absolutely delicious. So, yeah, so this is what I want to get into. Now, what kinds of grains have gluten? Like I said, barley, wheat, and rye, and sometimes oats.
And how many people eat rye all the time?
Yes.
But it's not very common.
Now,
though,
when we talk
about mainly the wheat.
But when we talk about wheat, kamut, spelt, what are some of the other ones? Durum, farro, emmer, einkorn, these are all different kinds of wheat strain. So just
and they're not very common or popular here, but they are in other countries.
Yes, they're still wheat.
Right.
So we really need to
they're
be careful.
They're in that same family.
Exactly.
That same genus.
Yes, exactly. So we have to be really careful. And there's like, and I even bought this miso, right, which is soybeans and pearl barley. So there you go. You know, you really have to watch your labels. And a lot of preservatives have like gluten.
And then, of course, I'm sure, like with most labeling, it's not true labeling. So
right.
There's gluten microscopically, or there's enough present or not enough present to have to label it.
Right.
So it's in there, but the label doesn't disclose that fact because
right.
they have lobbied against the fact that they have to put the truth on the label, because otherwise people wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. So just a few, just to mention, would be that are non-gluten, that do not have gluten, fruits and vegetables are gluten-free, and meat is gluten-free.
What are those? What are fruits and vegetables?
Fruits, vegetables, and meat are all gluten-free, so you can eat those until the cows come home. But if they are cooked in a way with preservatives or deep-fried, that could have gluten in them. You see, so you have to be careful with that.
Mixing and matching.
Yeah. So some of the gluten-free, just to mention a few because there's quite a few, gluten-free flours would be almond flour, amaranth, arrowroot, bean flours, lentil flours, brown rice flour, buckwheat. And interesting enough, buckwheat is not wheat. Buckwheat is a fruit.
That's a little berry.
Yeah, a little berry. Cassava. Cassava is what? Tapioca. Flour, corn flour, corn meal. We have to watch the corn, but still corn flour has no gluten in it. Very interesting. Chickpea, flaxseed, millet, pea flour, potato flour, quinoa, soy flour, taro flour.
Yeah, and on that list, I'd cross out myself personally. I'd get rid of all the corn. I'd get rid of the soy.
Yeah.
And the millet is fantastic. What else do I see? Buckwheat.
The brown rice
the
flour
quinoa,
would be great.
Brown
Buckwheat.
Rice. So, I mean, you don't need all of these.
No.
The misconception is that we need a huge variety of
yes.
foods.
Yeah.
Well, why is that? Well, maybe because all the food supply is so deficient now that we need to pull from a greater variety of sources.
Yeah.
If it was more nutritious, the ideal diet is probably the most simple diet you can come up with. Regionally specific,
yeah.
you know, macrobiotic. You get the stuff from your region. I mean, we don't really grow a lot of this stuff, but then we're living in a modern world, aren't we?
So I think the thing is I'm going to start baking with gluten-free flours, and they don't work the same as spelt or kamut or whole wheat. Gluten-free flours will generally absorb more water than normal flours and will lack the robust texture and tolerance typical to gluten-containing flours. So what they say to do is you want to mix the flours together, like a potato flour with a tapioca flour, with a buckwheat flour. So you want to kind of play around with it. So I'm going to have fun playing around, but I will continue to let everybody know.
And a lot of these things are going to be really heavy and dense, right?
Well, okay. A chocolate cake. I made my chocolate cake recipe, which is in the Vista magazine, Vista Mag Online. And instead of using the whole wheat, I used carob.
Which I got recently.
Carob powder. And
carob.
And I used buckwheat flour. But I just did everything the same with the cocoa powder as well. And couldn't keep it in the house.
Hey, we had a friend come over.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy ate half the cake.
He ate more than half the cake.
And he took half the other half.
He had the other half home. So, I mean, I think when you grow up with these, with the kids growing up with the heavy different types of gluten-free flours or heavier type flours, they won't want the white
flour.
Well,
what's that story about the baking pan?
I don't know.
Remember about the woman that baked something in this pan her whole life and then someone asked her why? And it was because her grandmother did it. And the reason that her grandmother did it was because that's...
Oh, the roast beef.
The roast beef? What is that story?
Every year when they would make Sunday dinner, she'd cut the sides off the roast beef. And the little girl one day says, "Why do you do that, Mom?" And she says, "Well, my grandmother used to do it." And so then the little girl went and asked the grandmother, which would be her great-grandmother, "Why did you do that?" And she goes, "Well, the roast didn't fit in the pan. That's why I cut the sides off." So just this tradition...
You know what the moral of that story is? Use your freaking brain. Think about what you do and always ask why. That little girl asked why.
Right.
That's the most powerful question in the world.
Yeah. So Also, wheat bran, wheat germ, wheat starch, all these have gluten in them. So really be careful about the gluten. And maybe you have some little ailments that you don't even know about that could be from eating wheat, rye, or barley, and sometimes oats. Be careful about the oats. So anyway, that's it. I just
well,
think
this
it's
goes
really
into
cool.
an ancestral diet where yeah. in paleontology mm-hmm. and anthropology, we yeah. know that humans come from a hunting-gathering past. And that the grains and agriculture and everything that it generated that's really part of the destruction of the planet right now is what's getting us into trouble. If you take anybody and get them on the wild game, mm-hmm. you know, like wild salmon and halibut, even sardines and muskox and whatever it is, okay, and then you go fruits and vegetables and maybe some yams and brown rice. But let's even get rid of the rice. Let's just go for the fruit, vegetable, and the game. Mm-hmm. You could live on that for the rest yeah. of your life and never need anything else. And you
right.
know what? You'd probably eliminate all the allergies, all
oh,
the
yeah.
inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're telling people
right.
to do is just clean up the diet.
And the thing is, like, even though you clean up your diet, there's these, like, if you're eating anything from a can or a box or even, like, these really healthy tortillas – you never know what's hidden inside. Those preservatives might have that gluten in there. So you really got to be careful. If you just eat, like you said, fruits and vegetables and meat, hey, and it's not deep fried or frozen or anything like that, I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah. So I'm all for the gluten-free diet. And remember I said you were the gluten in my life?
Yes, dear.
So I'm all for the gluten-free diet.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's good.
So welcome to my life, and why don't you step inside my vaporizer? I got something I want to talk to you about.
Oh, whatever. It says that gluten-free flours lack robust and tolerance to typical gluten flours. So,
well, it's kind of like the weight.
Thanks
right?
a lot,
gluten
dear.
Is dense. It's about amino acid chemistry. Really, go online and just punch in gluten and get into the chemistry of gluten, and you'll learn about gliadin and proline and lysine and how humans can't split and break this mm-hmm. thing down. And you're going to be told that it's not a problem for you, even if you test negative. What I'm saying is that it's still causing damage to
yes.
your body because you're a human
yeah.
and humans are intolerant to wheat.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
the exceptions are sprouting it.
Yeah.
That seems to change.
Okay. Anyways, I think it's just really fascinating. So get on it. Get online. Find out a little bit more about it. But that's my new wave now.
Okay. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Ms. Gilly Thomas. And that was such an interesting interview, especially when she spoke on trauma or emotional injury on a cellular level. And I find it amazing how we carry our emotional pain throughout our lives, inside our bodies, and in turn, it manifests itself in physical pain.
Well, that's what Edward Bach was all
yes.
about, the Bach flower remedy.
Yeah.
He said every person coming in is emotionally starved, sick, and
yeah.
messed up.
Yeah.
And their disease physically, physiologically, yeah. is a token, a symbol, mm-hmm. a manifestation of their emotional
yeah.
impairment.
Yeah.
You know, and if you study Stephen Hawking or Richard Dawkins or Ayn Rand and science and objectivism, you're going to realize that the only hope for humanity is rational thinking. It's to overcome negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that acts irrationally is not acting according to scientific methodology.
Right.
They're acting like insects that are driven by some type of genetic motivation without any thought. We've got this beautiful brain. It's so large and magnificent. Why not try using it, but
right.
fill it up with the right information?
Exactly.
Rationality is the key to success.
So that was great, especially the story about the little girl and her smile. And that's why the woman didn't smile, because she told she had ugly teeth.
Amazing,
yeah,
huh?
I mean, those things. So we have to be really careful about what we say to small children or what we say to people. Our teachers need to be really careful what they say to their students, because it really can hurt them and affect them throughout their lives on a cellular level. That's
yeah.
the part that I find
it's
fascinating.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I know it's amazing. Very cool.
So thank you, Gilly. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit now about Highway to Health. What's going on there?
Highway to Health. Okay, Highway to Health. We are doing another lecture, or you're doing another lecture, but mind you, we both come up with the topics for the lecture. 7 more nutritional lies.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That is March the 24th. And go to infofit.ca?
Yeah.
Infofit.ca.
I-N-F-O-F-I-T
.ca and just plug on the link that they've got there. It'll give you all the information. It's in Vancouver. It's an evening lecture. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get excited. There's going to be some enthusiasm there. And I'm going to rant and rave and do my regular thing.
And we'll be talking more about the seven more nutritional lies as we get moving on into
the seven times
SNU.
7,000.
Yeah, we've got
just
more
keep
and more.
Going on
so
and
we
on
talked
on.
About the seven last time, and this time we're going to do next SNU.
Yeah, plus you can come to that lecture and sign up for the PSN, the Principles of Sport Nutrition course, our second one now.
Yeah, that
that's
went
going
well.
To start in April.
Yeah.
12 weeks. Everyone that came to the first one, I think, got more than their money's worth.
Well, they got you, honey. They got you.
Well, I got them. You know,
exactly.
We all learned
more
information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you cover over 100 principles over 12 weeks, at least a few of them are going to stick to your ribs.
Well, I got to hand it to you. You did stay on time. And if you know Corey, he gets on a rampage and it's really hard. He had 2 hours to get in 10 principles. And I really had to wing my hand around and do
well,
the watch.
Well, I had
watch
to dodge a few bullets.
Yeah, exactly, because you've only got so much time. Unfortunately, we only had 2 hours because it's at night and people can only handle so much. So, but you did a good job of staying on time.
Well, thank you, dear. And I look forward to the lecture, to our next course. And by the way, I'm still working on finishing the program that our CSNA master teachers will download.
Yep.
I'm excited about it. I'm putting a lot of time and energy
you
into it.
You certainly are.
It always takes longer than you think, right?
For you.
Yes.
Corey starts something, he thinks it's going to take 10 hours, and it takes like 10,000
But you know, you're building something
hours.
Of value. I always think of it like a pyramid.
Yeah, you do.
You know? And so build something that has value and think long term. Forget about the short term when it comes to creating your life and designing it. Okay, so what about your dance classes? Are you going to do those? You talking?
Two, three.
Are you teaching?
Well, I hope so. I'd love to teach. That's coming up. When is it? March 9th.
March
9th and March 12th. I'm going to commence another dance class at Fitness 2000, and it's going to be 4-4 timing, and it's going to be the Foxtrot, Harry Fox. Foxtrot, the very basics, the chassés, music like Frank Sinatra music, and also some single step jive and some triple step swing. And I just hope that people register. That's all I want.
Where's it going to be taught at?
At Fitness 2000, Burnaby, British Columbia.
Okay,
and it's on our website and our e-newsletter.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, so you can email me if you're interested.
So
in
if
it.
You
so
live
I'm hoping that
in Antarctica, if you're in Australia, if you're in South Africa, we expect you to show up for that dance class.
Yeah, right. I'm good, but I don't know how good I am.
And what is the three-letter word that it's all about? Fun, fun, fun. Isn't that what your dancing's all about? Fun?
Exactly.
Having fun?
Absolutely.
I
am a big believer in the fact that you can learn and have fun. You can learn by having fun. As a teacher, I like to have a lot of fun myself, but not to the point where it's like over the top wild. You can still have a good time with...
And I got a secret for you, dear.
What?
You can work and have fun.
Yeah.
And here's the big one. You can live and have fun.
No,
you
really?
You can actually have fun in your life. Can you imagine that?
Really?
Can you imagine that?
I can't even
what a bizarre,
that,
abstract
having fun
thought.
And living a life.
That you can actually do something that you enjoy for the
How
rest of your life.
How about being married and having fun?
Well, now we're talking about that gluten-free diet again. You see, just press the delete button.
Yes, exactly. Wouldn't
Don't
that be nice?
Cook with gluten. Stay away from it.
Yeah.
You invite that stuff into your life and it sticks to you forever.
There you
this
go.
Gooey stuff.
Does that talk about marriage?
Yeah. Okay, well, that was a good one, I think.
I think so, too.
I always enjoy spending some time with you.
You do?
It's got to be limited, though.
Okay.
And tonight I'm going to escape. So what is your final word?
I thought that was tomorrow night you're going to escape.
No, I'm escaping tonight.
Tonight you're going out?
I'm going out with my friend.
I thought that was tomorrow night.
No. Today's Wednesday. It's SNU.
Time flies when you're having fun, folks.
You just took off and hung out with your friend and left me in bed by myself, which, by the way, happened to be a wonderful experience.
I'm sure it was.
I spread my arms and legs.
Too much information.
I had peace in the valley. Now you get to have the
same
experience.
Way too much information. Okay, my final word is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. A friend is a person with whom I may be sincere. Before him, I may think aloud.